With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to another episode of That's a Wrap Podcast. That's a Wrap. That is the name of the podcast and also the name of my Mother's Day plans. So,
leave it to
the Raptors to make you rearrange your plans.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit bitter, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who is bitter that we have to continue playing these annoying Sixers. But yeah, who's with me on the pod? Let's try to work our way through this podcast here.
Well, the one side of consistency with this series is we won a game one, which is not like us, but we made it to game seven, which is very like us. So at least it's a Raptors series after all. Not quite a burnout game like game four, but or game three rather, but not great either. We'll go into it. Jason, I think you're grasping at straws at this point.
A little bit. But I mean, I've come to a realization after being a Raptors fan for so long that you can't overreact. I know it's kind of in our DNA, but after that shellacking in game three, there was a lot of, we're done. We're dead already. But look at us now. I mean, we're going to game seven. We have earned the right to have game seven on our home court. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll talk about game seven a little bit later. There is a lot of history to it, but you know what? Let's talk about this game. What happened, man?
Yeah. Let's get into this. As you can tell from our voices, this was not a victory for the Raptors. The final score does not really indicate, what kind of a game this was. The final score was 112-101 for the Sixers. A lot of things that, didn't quite work in the Raptors' favor here. Ben Simmons finally going off, and that's going to be one of the talking points we're going to be discussing here today. In fact, you know what? I wasn't planning on talking about him as one of my win numbers, but I guess it really should start there because, we've seen Jimmy Butler step up. We've seen the impact of Joel Embiid in various times of the series. But the fact that Ben Simmons stepped up was a really big positive for the Sixers and something we still haven't seen, after the first five games. I remember telling a lot of people that, I'm confident the Raptors will win this game because what else can the Sixers do? They've brought all the tricks out of their bag. And this one was a new one. Simmons finally being aggressive and driving to the lane and having some success even again when Kawhi was guarding him. So my first number is going to be Ben Simmons going 21-8-6. Mm-hmm. These are the kinds of numbers that he's been putting up all season, and finally it came through today. So that's the first one. The second number I want to throw out there is 29. So 29, actually, let's extend that number out to 37. 37 is the point differential between the first couple minutes of this game and the ending of each of the three quarters. So the Raptors started, Philly started the game up 13-5. They ended the first quarter 16-6. They ended the second quarter 9-2. And they ended the third quarter 18-6. That is not great.
Yeah, that's pretty hard because, I mean, most of the time it's all about how do we close quarters, and every single quarter we did not, besides garbage time.
Yeah. So, I mean, those first two, I guess, numbers I've given to you guys, not so great. So I want to end off on a slightly positive number, and that is 100. That is the percentage of teams in the NBA who have won Game 5 after a series was tied 2-2, who have won Game 5 by at least 23 points and gone on to win the series. The Raptors, of course, did win Game 5 after the series was tied 2-2. They won that one quite handily. It was a 36-point victory. So if history will dictate anything, it's that the Raptors are guaranteed to win Game 7. So, over to you, Jay.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to stick with the positive, and it has to be, you know, Game 7. Like you said, it's kind of destined to for this kind of storyline to end in Game 7 with Philadelphia versus Toronto, and our next opponent would be Milwaukee. You think back in 2001 when Vince Carter and AI went off, their next opponent was going to be Milwaukee. So it's kind of in the tea leaves, don't you think? So there, wasn't really much positives when it came to players. Marcus Gasol didn't have a very good game. Kyle Lowry and, you know, Kawhi Leonard, honestly, he didn't really have a very good game either. Granted, it was Philly's, you know, game plan to double team, triple team him really hard, and I could say that if we made shots, this would have been a different game. But at the same time, it just felt like we didn't have it. The body language wasn't good, the turnovers weren't good, the communication wasn't really good, and a lot of the times when the Raptors play like this, it's almost like I want to blame Nurse, but it wasn't him either. It was really just the players. Felt like it was destined to go to 7. I don't know why. I mean, Kyle Lowry said pregame, or at least postgame after game 6, that, or after game 5, that for game 6 they have to go in like, you know, this is war, and it seemed very one-sided. But let's think about positive, right? Game 7 is on our home court. Historically done well on our home court, and we have to, like I said, it's destiny. We have to finish this storyline from 18 years ago. We knew we were going to be back at some point. Maybe we can even think about where were you when Vince Carter missed that shot. And now where are we going to be? It's going to be Mother's Day. But where are we going to be when hopefully Raptors finish off the 76ers? Is it going to be a buzzer beater? Is it going to be a blowout? Do we lose? Who knows? Regardless, we get another chance. We get a second chance at redemption. I can't wait to talk about this more. Dre, I'm gonna hand it to you, but I can't wait to get your take on Game 7.
I'll go over some quick things that we can improve upon for Game 7. I had a theme a couple games ago, capitalization. This time, it's not about us, it's about them. And it's the Sixers' runs. As you were saying, Jay, the ending of each quarter, we were being blown out. That's because of runs. We didn't know how to stop them. We had, I think, one run ourselves that actually threatened them in any way. Like, we were barely in the lead in the first quarter. And
it was basically whenever Boban was on. and then Brett Brown fixed that pretty quickly and sat him down.
See, I know the NBA is listening to this podcast. I said bring on Boban last time. They listened. It was a trap. Sally didn't fall for it.
I see your ploy, Dre. I see your ploy. Well done.
Boban Marjanovic, he's still good, Brett Brown. Listen to me. He's still good. Keep him on. Start him, actually. But no, actual tactical things, if the Raptors and Nick Nurse and company are listening. We got to stop their runs. So first off, offensive rebounds once again. I think this time we didn't even catch up to them, because there's been a few instances where they've beaten us in offensive rebounds and then we caught up later on. We didn't catch up to them this time. And you want to know why? A big reason why. Point number two. Ben Simmons went off in the same way that they underestimated our three ball percent. Ben Simmons, I mean, how many of his points came from rebounds that he dunked? How many of them were alley-oops? How many of them were catches on the ground and he went back in? How many were, you know, the Euro step blowing past our people? Our defense in the paint and our offensive rebound just let us down, especially when it came to just Ben Simmons alone, never mind everybody else. And that, unfortunately, didn't stop their runs. So that's something that we've got to clean up. We've got to clean up the offensive rebound, which is point one, but also just the presence in the paint. I don't know what it is. They had a lot of steals off of us. They had us kind of tied up in a way that I haven't really seen us this series. Yes, we've had a worse game, but this time it almost felt like they were like defensive player of the yearing us instead of Gasol getting in their face, instead of Kawhi stripping the ball from them. It was almost as if the tables had turned, and it was really weird. And this is what a Ben Simmons pro game looks like, where it gets a little bit strange and things open up a little bit too much and players go off because guess what? Ben Simmons doesn't have a jump shot. He's a point guard and he can't shoot. Yeah, that might be, but guess what? He's a different breed. And when he's good, that screws up an entire game because you can't make sense of a player like him. And it goes to show. Lastly, ball movement. We weren't really doing too many catch and shoots, but ball movement entirely slows down their game. It stops them from stripping the ball from us that quickly. It stops them from being in our face. And guess what? They weren't really doing airplanes this time around, but in case it wasn't obvious, Philly loves their fans. They're going crazy. They thrive off of that energy, whereas we're a little bit more textbook. Mm-hmm. We try to get things done, but you have to stop them from thriving on that energy. And that's why I believe our home court will be a little bit easier, because they won't have those people to dance with, to hype up like it's a wrestling match, like they're the heel. It's going to be a different animal, but we have to figure out, in the same way that they figured out how to shut down our three ball after last game, if we need to shut down a hot Ben Simmons, how do we do that? Because like Gasol changes the game, because there aren't a lot of players like him, so does a Ben Simmons. And we saw that with the amount of dominating plays that dude had, mostly as a result of cleaning up bad plays. That's what we got to do. We just got to tidy it up, and I think we'll do all right.
Yeah, and I think it was kind of just a game of runs, really. I feel like it was like a 10-0 run on Philly. It was an 8-0 run for Raptors, and another 12-0 run for Philly. But the problem is that it wasn't our home court, like you said, Dre. Once Philly gets on an 8-0 run, Philly crowd's going to go crazy. Of course they are. And granted that, you know, they should go crazy, but we can't just continue to change buckets or exchange buckets with them. That's not how it works. You have to play good defense and good offense together. You can't take one side off. If you're going to rely on your offense, you're not going to win. If you're going to rely on your defense, sure. But if you can make some buckets at the same time, right? So, yeah, like I'm hoping for game seven. I hope, because of the familiarity, because of the crowd, and because, you know, we're a better team. This is the first time we've seen Ben Simmons go off, and Kawhi did not have a good game. I don't feel like Kawhi has it in him to have a second bad game.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of funny how 29 points, 12 rebounds, 5 dimes is a bad game for anyone, really.
Yeah, it's true.
We're a bit spoiled by what Kawhi has given us game in and game out throughout the series. And I guess as a product of the last game, when, you know, Kawhi's dominance or superhuman ability wasn't really required, because the rest of the team had stepped up, it just didn't happen today. And I don't think it's necessarily that Philly figured out a way to stop us hitting our threes, which we did very well in the last game. It's been fairly consistent in every game in terms of the amount of open looks that we've had and whether or not they fall or not. So that tells me that there is just enough ball movement that we're getting those open looks. They're just not falling. In game five, those were falling, especially from Danny Green, and, you know, to the tune of 16 threes. So I think that we're doing the right things. It's just the shots not falling. I'll be honest, the only concern I have heading into game seven is if Simmons has found new life. This is not the same Simmons we saw in the first five games of the season. And, you know, I don't want to jinx things and look too far ahead, but I'll be honest, I have been. And the way Simmons played today and the way Nurse is going to adjust to him actually prepares us fairly well for the Bucks, because there's someone on the Bucks who doesn't shoot the ball very well, who is their main ball handler, their superstar. And he also doesn't have much of an outside shot, but he thrives on that space you give him, because you want Giannis to shoot. You give him that space, but that just provides a runway for him to get to the basket. That gives him a head start. And that's what Simmons was doing all game long. So how Nurse adjusts to that, and he will, whether it's putting sticking Kawhi on him, whether it is doubling him, or whatever he might come up with, is also a recipe on what to do in the next round. And again, I know I'm overstepping my boundaries here and looking beyond when, you know, the Raptors are technically one loss away from this possibly being Kawhi's last game. I'm only saying that to reverse jinx it. I don't actually believe that.
Yeah. Pull a Paul Pierce, please. Pull a Paul Pierce.
Yeah. No, I don't actually believe that. But what I will say is this.
Charles Barkley.
Because of this loss, because we are extending this to 7 games, this also means that game one of the next round does not start until next Wednesday. And for the Bucks, that's an entire week of just sitting on your butt. And I guarantee you, if and when the Raptors beat the Sixers on Sunday, they will be facing a very rusty Bucks squad, especially one that's going to be relying on a Malcolm Brogdon who has just returned from injury. He'll definitely be rusty. Sorry, I'm really stepping over here and looking beyond Game 7.
Focus on Game 7. That's good, because, okay, so if I'm going to go back to Ben Simmons, how does he get his buckets? It's from transition. How he gets into that momentum is from us missing and from him getting those rebounds. So what do we have to do? We have to make shots. If we don't make shots, we have to get offensive rebounds. If we don't get offensive rebounds, then pick him up at full court, or if not half court, so he doesn't go up to run full court. He reminds me a lot of John Wall. John Wall just kind of go from one end to another 94 feet, and he's there in a split second. So,
and who did we have to stop John Wall last year? His name was Pascal Siakam. And Siakam, I don't know about you guys, he looked pretty spry today.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, bring it on. And then that's the other thing, is like, I'm actually not too concerned about the offensive rebounds. I'm fine with us dropping back and stopping any transition points. You know, if we don't crash the boards, I can live with that, if that means it prevents the Sixers from running out. I mean, that's what Orlando was doing to stop our transition. That's what Philly have kind of tried to do to stop our transition game, is, you know, maybe not, you know, go for those offensive boards and stop the transition.
All right, before we finish this episode off, Game 7, Philly, Toronto. We've seen this story before. We see our last star, our Air Canada, a face-off between AI and their superstar, and it was in their home court. This time it's in ours. Do you feel different? Do you feel confident? Do you feel like this is meant to happen? Do you think this is the NBA gods kind of, you know, shining to us and be like, this is your chance? You don't screw it up, but this is your chance. I gave you a second chance. What are you guys feeling?
I've been waiting a while to say this in case I had to.
Do it.
It is different. Back then it was the answer. Now it's only the process. It's not the same thing.
Ooh. Well, fear, 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 fear.
This is a team that's still developing. And I say, once again, for the billionth time, a broken record, I say this as a 76ers fan. This is a team that's still developing. They've got a few kinks to work out. I feel like they could win a chip in a couple of years. Maybe even next year. I don't know. But not right now. Not if they're blowing lead games as much as they have. I feel like with us, when we did, it was a bit of a different story. But I feel like we've bounced back in a bit of a different way. I feel like we could definitely do this. And instead of Vince Carter trying to take the last shot, we have Kawhi Leonard trying to do it. A guy who's actually won a championship. A guy who had to go to Game 7 during his championship year. His finals MVP year, going up against the one and only LeBron James in his prime, in the Heat. It's a very, very, very different outcome. And we have experience. We have veteran outlook. It's a whole different ballgame. We are in a different position, stat-wise, season-wise, everything. I think I think we'll be okay. And the good news is, as you said, the Bucks have been sitting so long. We've got Couch Potato Koopa over there who might have been sitting for too long. And once we say hi to him, which I believe we will, I think we will this might be a blessing. The Bucks might not be ready because they haven't really been challenged yet this entire series, or playoffs rather. So differences we have. We've had to adapt. We've had to figure it out. We will figure it out in Toronto, home court. I think we'll be okay. We're not scrambling and grasping at straws. We've blown them up before. This is entirely possible. And I think we will do it.
I think I'm actually glad that you said blown out, because I actually don't think this will come down to like a last second shot, the Vince Carter miss from 2001. And you actually touched upon this, Dre. We do have a more experienced squad, and that will absolutely come in handy in Game 7. The experience that we've got, the veteran leadership we have, that's what wins you Game 7s. And we have that leaps and bounds over what the Sixers have. So what I'm predicting, actually, is that this, while it may not be a blowout, I do think it will not be close. I'm predicting something close to a double-digit victory, one in which, you know, Philly will get extra desperate in the final, in the fourth quarter, or trying to make a comeback, and they just won't have the answers, whether it's our defense stepping up or whether it is offensively, they're just not hitting their shots. I really do like our chances on Sunday. And I think it'll be a victory on Sunday. I don't know how else to say it. I just think that we've got the better team overall, and there's no way we're losing on Sunday.
I'm gonna put it in one word or one way. Vince Carter is still playing. AI is not. How take that however you will, but I feel like we're gonna pull this one off for sure.
Well, that's because Vince Carter liked to practice.
Hey,
like to go to practice.
you're on it today, Dre. You're
this is what happens when you're a 76ers fan. You know all the references.
There
you,
it is.
They're all in the back of your mind. I love AI, but the dude didn't practice, and I you know, yep. He ended up doing an American tour. Like, he was like, I don't know, Sticks of the Rolling Stones or something. He went from Denver. He went to like Detroit, and I was like, anyways, it's not about AI.
It's not about Vince or AI. It's about 2019 Toronto Raptors and Philadelphia 76ers. So Game 7, no sweeter words except for Raptors win. But until then, I'll see you in Game 7. That's a wrap.
Let's hit that Liberty Bell.